Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Quick Question with Soren and Daniel, a so far unawarded show which acts as the only line of communication between two best friends, and you get to observe truly every moment of that friendship. It's like a zoo, but for human relationships, and you can only see it with your ears. I'm one half of that exhibit, writer for American Dad, performer, and just all-around outstanding house guest Soren Bowie. The other half is the Fisher King, father of a dog, fast friend, famously single, and the only folksy boy from New York, Daniel O'Brien. He also probably has a job, but it currently escapes me. The fact that Daniel isn't doing his own introduction should clue most of you into the fact that this episode we're doing something a little bit different. It's currently Thanksgiving, and he and I are affording ourselves a little break, with the exception of me recording this. Instead, the show will be a compilation of our favorite iterations of our favorite bit from Quick Question, which is, of course, the end. At the end of each episode, either Daniel or I try to paint the other into a deeply problematic corner, and then we just sit there and sort of watch as the other one tries to clumsily escape. It's a deeply mean thing we do to each other. It almost never goes well, and it's super dangerous to have that kind of thing live on in recorded perpetuity. So without any further ado, here are some of the worst, or I guess the best, depending on how much you hate us, moments that will someday end our careers. Please enjoy. This episode is brought to you by Raycon. Thanks to Raycon Wireless Earbuds for supporting Quick Question. Raycon earbuds start at about half the price of any other premium wireless earbuds on the market. For a limited time, get 20% off your order at buyraycon.com/QQ. Thanks to Hello Tushy for supporting Quick Question. Hello Tushy is a sleek bidet attachment that clips onto your toilet and sprays your butt clean with fresh water, and it's the best thing you can do for your butt, and it starts at just $79. Go to hellotushy.com/QQ to get 15% off bidets and free shipping.
I'm getting pretty exhausted and I have so many things to do. I need to track down all the social media accounts, but while I'm doing that, Soren, you said you had a list of great band names that you just wanted to give away for free. What's that list? That list of band names that you had?
I don't even have to pull it up because I have them all memorized. Clusterhole and Bubonic Hag, I thought would be a good one. The Dark Season. Midnight to Twilight. Am I pronouncing that right? Twilight. The Rooster Crows. No.
Yeah, in your email to me, you said you had three more.
Yeah, the Rooster Crows. Like, Hark the Rooster Crows. Not like these are the roosters, the Rooster Crows that you're thinking of. Toonsie and the Maybells. You're gonna get a lot of overlap with Toots and the Maytals. And the future is a good name. That's the whole band name. The future is a good name.
Okay, very good.
While I'm doing that, Soren, you said you had a rap that was like in the style of Gangster's Paradise that you wanted to do about Colorado, and you wanted space to do that. So I'm gonna give you space to do that while I track down the social accounts.
Fuck you. All right. Yeah, I do. I've been waiting to perform this for a pretty long time now. Thank you for giving me the space to do that and giving me a safe place in which to do that. Okay, here we go.
We hit the mountains right around November. You were three then and too young to remember how we huddled round the fire in our blankets made of skin that we traded for some whiskey with a one-eyed Indian. He warned us against trying for the past, but your foolhardy pops was trying to get there fast. We were making good time and everything was all right until a storm started hitting and we stopped for the night. One night turned into 18 weeks. your sister got sick, and we ran out of meat. It's funny what a family will do to survive. We rationed out your sister just to stay alive. Thanks everyone for listening.
Did the sister live?
No, man. No, we ate her.
He started humming what I thought was the wrong tune in the beginning. I was like, he doesn't know what Gangster's Paradise is.
No, I just don't know how to hum.
There's a letter that Soren gave me, like physically mailed me a letter. It says nothing except virgins are bad. Do you want to speak on that? It seemed very important to you. Do you want to explain why you said that, that virgins are bad, Soren?
Yep.
You mailed it to me.
Yep.
So
I'd love to. Thanks for giving me a platform on which to expel this opinion. Virgins are bad, in my opinion, because they take away an opportunity from society to share it in their bodies. And that's selfish. But okay, listen, now let's just pretend I'm talking about virgin guys. Like, it's not so bad anymore, right? Right? Hello?
Anyway.
All right, well, I'm going to do the outros, but before I want to find them here, I just didn't want to give you some time. You at one point told me, well, I know that you hate letting old adages that are wrong stand, and you said that you'd create a list of jobs that are objectively harder than being a mom, and I just wanted you to have an opportunity to roll those out.
Jobs that are harder than being a mom?
Yeah, I mean, so many people say it's the hardest job in the world, and you've always said, no, sir, here right, are several that are harder.
Do say that. And so you're going to give me some space now to give that list?
Yes.
Okay, great. That sounds good. I want to say male nurse. I'm going to say principal. Again, parenthetically, male. I want to say, if you go to like a Home Depot, there's a guy who has to man the station where it puts the paint can in a machine and it shakes the paint because the paint needs to get mixed properly to get the color that you want. And it's a very scary machine. It shakes violently. Similarly, if you go to a Sports Authority, the machine that puts the spool onto a reel, because you do that with a machine, that can knock you on your toes if you're not careful, and then you have to start from scratch. And the man who works that is also, I would rank as a hero above mom, which isn't a job.
That's perfect. Thank you. 2 o'clock the other morning, you'd sent me a text that said, phrenology is a science we shouldn't have given up on so quickly. Do you just want to speak to that?
Yeah, I want to speak to it a little bit, just because I don't think there's any science that we should give up on. You know? Like, there's so many different kinds of sciences, and phrenology, which I only know from the Roots album, is underappreciated and needs to be explored more.
That's a really good answer. Thanks, Dan. Mm-hmm. You had told me that you didn't think the wage gap was real, and you just wanted to take some time to talk about that.
Yeah, so what I'm hearing is that for every dollar that a man makes, a woman makes 70 cents, which is insane. So like, I go to work, I'm working all day, I make, let's say, $50. And then a woman who is not working makes
70 cents mm-hmm. for every one of the dollars that I make of that 50. That's absurd. If I mean, you've misquoted me. I believe there's a gap. I just think that it unfairly punishes the man. Is I suppose the logical extension of this argument that I started making.
It's, I find that when I do these as well, like my idea is to be like, yeah, I'll lean into this. Oh God, I'm leaning in really far. And then the ground just starts collapsing and I start getting sucked down into this horrible vortex.
Thanks to Raycon for sponsoring this episode. As you probably know, it's about that time you need to start thinking about what your loved ones might want for Christmas. And you have a couple of options. You can get them something that's like deeply personal, that says you listen, you're thinking about them throughout the whole year, and that you love them. And quite honestly, that sounds like a whole lot of work. Your other option is to get something universally cool that anyone in their right mind would be pumped to have. And that's where Raycon comes in. You can get Raycon earbuds for a fraction of the price of the same high-end earbuds from other designers. And honestly, these things are wonderful. We teamed up with Raycon, and for a limited time, they're offering 20% off your order at buyraycon.com/QQ. My favorite thing about my Raycon wireless earbuds is that they stay put, no matter what. You might not know it to look at me, but my movements are dangerously fast. I've honed them over several years. It's a reaction time thing. It's fast twitch muscle fibers. I've, on more than one occasion, back when gyms existed, whipped my head around so quickly that I flung an inferior earbud two benches over and was forced to humiliate myself by crawling on my hands and knees under a weight rack to go retrieve it. So don't be like me, or rather be like me, but now, where that is never a threat. Not just because gyms don't exist, but because I've got my Raycon earbuds. And now Raycon's newest model, the Everyday E25 earbuds, are their best ones yet. With 6 hours of playtime, seamless Bluetooth pairing, more bass, more compact design, a noise isolating fit. I like to take mine, I put it up high somewhere in my house or when I go to the gym, and my phone just sits up there, and then I have my earbuds and I don't have to carry my phone around with me even. It's just these earbuds. It's keeps me a lot sleeker. Go to buyraycon.com/QQ today to get 20% off your Raycon order. But hurry, this offer is available for a limited time only, and you don't want to miss it. Go to buyraycon.com/QQ today to get 20% off your order. That's buyraycon.com/QQ.
I wrote the social accounts down on this piece of paper. I sealed it up in an envelope, and I put it in my lockbox, but the combination to open the lockbox, I have to go into my old Game Boy.
Your apartment has a lockbox and then darts on the wall.
I used to put my high score saved in a game in this Game Boy, so I can get the password from there to open the lockbox to get the social accounts. And in the meantime, while I'm doing all that, on the subject of the terror attacks of September 11th, Mark Wahlberg quite famously said in a 2012 Men's Journal interview promoting his new movie Contraband, quote, "If I was on the plane with my kids, it wouldn't have went down like it did. There would have been a lot of blood in that first class cabin, and then me saying, okay, we're going to land somewhere safely, don't worry," end quote.
Oh, damn, that's such a good Wahlberg. Now, that's similarly, like being able to sing.
Similarly,
that was magic.
I know that you, Soren, you also went on record as to what you would do were you on one of those planes, but I can't for the life of me find where that quote was. If you happen to remember what you said, please tell us. You remember, in this situation, it's 9/11 and you're on a plane with Mark Wahlberg, and you said you would do what?
Yeah. I'm glad you asked, because this was on, I put this up on Jib Jab and it's since disappeared. I don't know why. If I was on that plane with Mark Wahlberg, I mean, first things first, he and I are making eye contact because we're on the same page on a lot of things. And he and I, we have these conversations with each other just through our eyes. And I would be like looking at him, but at the same time, I'm slowly moving one of his kids over out of the seat next to me. By the way, his kid's sitting next to me because he trusts me to sit next to his other kid, just to keep him in line. And I'd be like moving that kid's head off my shoulder because he's asleep during this. And getting it over to the side and then slowly pulling out my sunglasses, and I'm going to put those on. Then it's important that I go and I log into the web, the Wi-Fi. Oh,
the Boingo hotspot?
Yeah. Yep.
Famously reliable Boingo hotspot.
Yes. I'm going to go into Spotify and I'm going to play Hip to Be Square by Huey Lewis in the News. I'm going to wait through the commercial that starts out before it.
You don't pay for that?
Then as soon as Hip to Be Square, those first guitar riffs come in, I'm jumping out of my seat. The seatbelt light's still on. I don't give a shit. I'm undoing my seatbelt. I'm jumping out of my seat. I'm going over, first things first, high-fiving Mark Wahlberg. Then he and I are running both hands together into the first terrorist. Now, we're going at such a high speed that we're cutting him directly in half. We're not just knocking him down. Mid-torso just torn directly in half. And we're just dangling this spine between our hands. At this point, we've developed sort of a gallop together. Uh-huh. And I fall into line behind him. We morph into what is more or less a human horse.
Uh huh. So
we trample the next guy.
Are you still hands together at this point?
No. Okay. No, but there was a signal. There was an energy there that we're going to talk about later between him.
So you trample the next guy.
We trample him. Yeah. Trample him. Like we've been lifting weights so much together that our hands are like these calloused hooves, mm-hmm. and we're just trampling the next guy. We make our way through. Ah, fuck. Are there 9 guys? 11? I can't remember how many
guys. Can't remember if it's 9 or 11.
The next thing I'm doing, I'm taking the box cutter off the ground, mm-hmm. from this terrace that we just trampled. And I'm waiting until the terrorists all kind of line up. And then I'm throwing it through them, through like a something soft, like their skulls.
Sure.
It's just going through each one of their skulls and doing the most damage and like sticking in a wall going. Yeah. And then from that point, you see the window start to crack below it. And then,
oh no.
And the window breaks open, but everybody is already in their seatbelts except Marky and I. And so they're all they're not getting sucked out, but the terrorists have been standing up this whole time. And so all of them get sucked out of this window, this tiny little window. And you can just see like guts coming out of their mouths and stuff. And it's real cool. And Hit to Be Square comes to a finale, comes to an end. I jump at the window and with just one massive muscular thigh, I block the suction out of the plane. Mm-hmm. And everybody's saved. Standing ovations around. I pull the rest of my sunglasses out, throw them onto the faces of everyone in the audience, because at this point it's an audience. And then he and I do a rendition of Good Vibrations. There it is. There you go.
Soren, I gotta be honest.
Yeah.
No notes.
You've been sending me a lot of texts lately, and all they say is Israel should just move.
Mm-hmm.
Where I guess you just mean the country, like the country should move.
Is that, yes.
Okay. Well, can you want to elaborate on that?
No. So what I have always, and thank you very much for giving me this space to talk about this. What I have always thought is that it is not the country that makes the people, and Israel is a country, right?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, great. It's not the country that makes the people. It's the people that make the country, you know? So I feel like there's a lot of heads butting on this whole Israel thing, which is about as far as I'm willing to wade into the depths of this conversation, this whole Israel thing. That's what I'm willing to say. A lot of heads butting on this whole Israel thing. And I feel like if we just wanted to turn the temperature down a few degrees, to just like wind this down a few notches, just take Israel, and I'm using Israel in quotes, meaning the people, and put them somewhere else. And then
an exodus, once, if you will.
Yeah. Once heads cool a little bit and Israel is like, I don't know, an island or that part just outside of Rio that used to be the Amazon and now it's not anymore because it's on fire. If we just make that Israel, who's mad then? Everyone gets their things.
I would call that the Trail of Cheers.
Yes. Oh, my God. Thank you. That's very good.
All right, I found it. You could follow.
It's gonna be like, so here's the thing that's very true of me. I'm incredibly ignorant about Israel. And I imagine there are several things that I said that are probably legally hate crimes.
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of the point of these, though, right?
Thank you to Hello Tushy for sponsoring this podcast. Look, we all know what happens to American toilets the days following Thanksgiving. Big ingestions are inevitably followed by big egestions. It's physics. But after your canned cranberry catharsis, or whatever you want to call it, you don't have to worry a bit about cleaning up with Hello Tushy. For years, bidets have cost thousands of dollars and have been available only to the top 1% of buttholes. But Hello Tushy, it's a modern bidet attachment, and it's an investment in egalitarianism because it starts at just $79. And you don't need some sort of plumber to install it for you. No, nay. You can install it yourself. Hello Tushy attaches to your existing toilet. It doesn't need electricity, doesn't need other plumbing, and it cleans your butt with a precise stream of fresh water, all for just $79. Not only that, your Hello Tushy will cut toilet paper costs by 80%. And that means a lot, especially now, for whatever reason, when people are again hoarding toilet paper. Stop doing that, first of all, but also, shouldn't bother you because you got your Hello Tushy. Stop wiping your butt and start washing and join the millions of happy Hello Tushy customers right now. Plus, Hello Tushy is the perfect gift for the holidays. All you got to do is go to hellotushy.com/QQ to get 15% off bidets for free shipping. Hey, they also make great gifts. Here's a gross fact. Did you know that an average person uses 57 sheets of toilet paper a day? And that every roll of TP requires 37 gallons of water to be made, a bidet only uses an average of a pint of water. So stop wiping and start washing. That's crazy. 57 sheets a day. Unless, of course, you're on vacation, which everybody knows you don't really poop great on vacation. Sometimes, I mean, you just don't poop at all. It's a weird thing. Like your butt somehow knows that you're in a foreign environment. And it's like we're shutting down operations for a little bit. But then it's just like, you know, the dam breaks. But nobody else has to know that because you're not the one who's dwindling that roll on the toilet paper dispenser, right? It's going to stay exactly where it was. People are going to think this guy doesn't poop because you're using a bidet, my friend. The bathroom has become the modern day self-care oasis. It's one of the only places you can get away from everybody. And it doesn't have to cost a zillion dollars for you to upgrade your bathroom and make it into what you deserve. You deserve this oasis. Hello Tushy costs only $79 and it can change your life. Get 15% off Hello Tushy bidets plus free shipping right now at hellotushy.com/QQ. This is Hello Tushy's best offer. So make your holidays a little happier and your Brown Friday a little cleaner by going to hellotushy.com/QQ for 15% off bidets and free shipping. hellotushy.com/QQ.
Soren, you said that you were happy that they did an all-female reboot of Ghostbusters. Like, you like the idea of it, but you weren't happy about the execution. So, are you comfortable speaking about how you would fix an all-female reboot of Ghostbusters right now?
Am I comfortable? Yes. I mean, this is... God, I don't know why I didn't bring this up earlier on any of these episodes, because this has been a real thorn in my side for a while. Listen, I think it's a great idea to do reboots of movies. I think that we're in a time when, you know, you could show so much more in a film than you could before. You're not beholden to the laws of physics or anything now because you have CGI available to you. And what I'm saying is that I say, you know, if you want to do them with women, that's fine, but make them CGI women.
Oh,
why are we giving these roles to real women when you can have them do so much more when they're CGI?
Right. And do you, sorry to jump in. I hate to do this, but do the voices of the women characters need to be women?
Well, so here's what I'm thinking. I think that there are a lot of really great male actors out there who they're just not working right now. Where is Brendan Fraser? Nobody knows. And you can get Brendan Fraser. And the things also that you can do with a voice now in 2019 are incredible.
Billy Crudup as a female Ghostbuster. That sounds incredible.
Where is he? Where's Billy Crudup been? And so you get those guys in there. You could make Brendan Fraser sound exactly like Kristen Wiig. I swear to God, you could do it. And so then Kristen Wiig doesn't even have to lift a finger. She just gets to stay home, which is where she belongs, Dan. Yeah, I wanted to just like quickly give you a chance to talk about something that you said to me recently about sports. You said steroids saved sports. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, I would absolutely love to talk about that. So a thing that happens with writing, my field, is you spend so much time working on it. And I just feel like all I'm doing is training. And if you do it well enough, you learn from the best writers, the best authors, the best comedians, the best thinkers, the best minds, and you have access at your fingertips of all of the best writing that's ever happened. And that makes me a best writer. It's just like the things that are around me that I can consume make me the best writer. And I think similarly, the best doctors, you know, they're not just like, you're not born a naturally good doctor. You go to school, you train, you surround yourself with greatness. And with sports, you train and you surround yourself with other people who are great at sports. And then if you find another thing, whether it's in my case, a book, and in doctors' cases, a book, or in athletes' cases, a needle or whatever from a doctor who studied from books, so it's the same thing, then you're not really doing anything wrong. You're using the world. You're using the environment to dedicate yourself to being better at this one skill. And if that's a crime, lock me up. Not me, obviously, specifically, but other people. Lock them up, but also like don't, because according to the train of thought that I'm making right now, I'm fine with the idea of drugs in baseball. And no, but like I like truly am like on a separate. So the point of this of these bits is that Soren and I ruin each other's lives. But like in actuality, I think as long as if I would say change the culture before you change the drugs. Man, it sucks that I believe this. But like right now we have a culture where we want our football players to be like giant, impossibly huge, impossibly fast monsters that run into each other every day. And we want our baseball players to hit more home runs than they ever have before in the history of time. Despite the fact that bodies aren't naturally getting better, we still want that because we have this insatiable need for bigness and greatness and improvement. And if we tamp down the culture, that's good. We should do that. But if we're not, then yeah, let them use drugs. I don't know. Let them take steroids because like they're fulfilling a need. I don't know.
I'll say, Dan, that train that you were constructing as it was speeding across the tracks has pulled smoothly into the station. That was great. You had said earlier that you thought that people of color shouldn't be allowed to go as cowboys for Halloween. Could you elaborate on that?
Yeah, thank you, Soren. I'm really glad that I have this space to answer that thing that I went on record, I suppose. I just think that it's really, there's two issues that I have with it. In cowboy, it's the boy part. Can we not in 2019, can they be cow people? Like, honestly, like Soren, I'm asking you honestly, can they be cow people? And before you answer that, I have another question that I need to ask you honestly. Cow, also kind of gendered, no? Because like, isn't bull a male cow? So isn't cow female cow? And so then wouldn't it be female gendered thing, boy gendered thing? So I'm just saying, instead of cowboy, it could be animal people, and anyone can do it for Halloween or any holiday.
You so deftly stumbled out of that noose, Dan. Well done. Well done.
Oh, a lot of people, I don't think, know this, but Soren and I, and this has been going on for many years, we share a bank account. Like, all of our finances go to the same place. So we get to see what the other one spends their money on. And I can't... Normally, it's totally fine, but I'm just curious, while I track down these accounts, Soren, why did you purchase the domain SorenLovesBigNaturals.com? While you answer that question, I'm gonna track down these social accounts.
Yeah. No, this is actually a topic that is near and dear to my heart, as you might imagine by the name of the domain I took. Big Naturals are so important to me because, listen, they're every type of fruit that you buy, it's got so many pesticides on it, so much gross stuff, and on the skin especially. So if you, I mean, you're dealing with a banana or something like that, it's a little bit better because there's a peel. But what I really love to sink my teeth into is a Big Natural peach. And you'd be shocked at the amount of pesticides and toxins that exist on the outsides of those peaches. And also the things that they're just pumped full of to keep them that big. So I did a lot of research on my own part, which you also probably saw. Because we also share a search history.
Uh-huh.
And I found that there's, if you can just get a big natural peach, then you discount all those toxins, all of those pesticides. You don't have to worry about any of that. But they're really hard to find. They're very hard to find. So I was going to just put together a database of the orchards that grow Big Naturals.
Okay, so that was going to be my follow-up question. That also explains why you bought the domain name Soren's Big Nasty Peaches. That's why. That's the same reason?
No, peaches are also what I call vaginas. And you had told me at one point that the best solution to global warming was thinning the population. Do you want to expand on that?
Yeah, I would love to. So here's the thing. And thinning has two different definitions. A lot of people, when I said we need to thin the herd to solve climate change, a lot of people were like, you want to get rid of people? You want to like eliminate huge swaths of people? No, of course not. I just want to make them thinner. I want the population to stay the same. I want us to maintain this rate of growth, but I just want everyone to be a little weight conscious so we can cut a slim profile, because I think the world is going to end when the world is going to end, and we might as well look good when we go out.
I did not anticipate that this would go to fat shaming. Oh, I love that you doubled down.
That is apparently how I feel.
Starting now.
Todd Phillips, writer-director behind the Hangover trilogy and also that War Dogs movie that everyone saw, and the helmer of the upcoming Joker movie, had this to say on the subject of why he moved from comedies to the very serious Joker movie. Quote, "Go try to be funny nowadays with this woke culture. There were articles written about why comedies don't work anymore. I'll tell you why. Because all the fucking funny guys are like, fuck this shit, because I don't want to offend you. It's hard to argue with 30 million people on Twitter. You just can't do it, right? So you just go, I'm out." And I believe when he said that, which is to say when he said that woke culture is ruining comedy, so that's why he's quitting it, you, Soren, said, same. Care to expand on that?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Thank you for giving me this opportunity. I know that I happen to work on a comedy show, but every single day I walk in there and I think about how I can fuck over my audience and really stick it to them, because that's the only way people grow. You hurt them. Right? You hurt them, you abuse them, and that's how they grow. And that's what comedy is supposed to be. It's not supposed to be funny. If you're laughing, it means you don't get it. It's supposed to hurt inside of you. And then you're supposed to say at the end, thank you very much for that pain. I'm a bigger, better person because of it. And if they're not doing that, then they don't get it. So people who think that comedy is about laughing, what is this, a kid's cartoon? We watch an anvil fall on a coyote? That's not what we're doing on here on stage. We're teaching lessons about the world. This is the school of hard knocks, my friend. And you're going to get knocked. Speaking of which, Knocked Up, excellent movie. Perfect example. Like, you're teaching people. If you're teaching people that women, not so great, unless they're hot, in which case they better be insecure. And if even if they that you can get that window open and you can finally like get them pregnant, you hang on to that.
I don't know if Dan, you want to talk quickly about it. You sent me a message the other day in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And you said that the fact that malaria isn't in the U.S. is proof that God is good and we are favored.
I sent that to you in the middle of the night.
Yeah. Well, for me, it was the middle of the night. For you, I assume it was 7 a.m.
Yeah.
First thought in your brain.
Yeah, it was early. It was, this sounds like it was after my, so I wake up, I have my coffee. I do a little bit of yoga. I started meditating, oddly enough. And it's really been doing wonders for me. That's sort of what gave me the clarity to arrive at this conclusion that if we were doing something wrong, then we would be justly punished for it. So the fact that we're not seems like we're moving things in the right direction. I mean, I don't want to say that everyone else who, I mean, I don't want to say failed, but like in quotes, failed God's test and is now suffering is bad. But that's only because it's not for me to interpret God's will. Sorry, I'm gonna fuck you in this next episode.
I was waiting for the turnaround on that one, Dan.
You made me talk about why virgins were bad.
I know one of the biggest causes that you champion is that a sweatshop is a derogatory term for what's ultimately a pretty self-empowering opportunity for kids. I wanted to give you the opportunity. You had some other ideas for what they should be called instead that were a little more flattering, and to just list a couple of those.
Yes, thank you. So I didn't want it to be called sweatshop anymore. I wanted it to have different names. Is that the premise of the thing that I said?
Yeah, something a little lighter.
Good. Yep. I mean, just off the top of the dome, this is like a first thought that probably you or anyone else listening had is get crops, which it phonemically is similar, and it calls to mind harvesting good ideas and also good like wallets and dresses and whatnot. Like you're gonna get them, you know, you're gonna get crops. And another thing that I thought of was sweat stop.
Is that because they're sweat comma stop or sweat question mark?
Sweat question mark.
Okay.
Stop, because you're not going to sweat anymore after you put on these tops and these hats that we're making in this factory. It wicks the sweat off you. So like sweat stop, you know. And another one that I've been toying with is let's stop, which is like just cool it. Don't investigate what's going on. Let's just we're all so exhausted. We're all so busy. So like let's just stop, you know? Let's stop looking into things. Yeah.
I'm glad you clarified that it wasn't about let's stop this practice. It was let's stop into this.
Yeah, yeah. Like Ronan Farrow did his investigation. That's enough investigations for the 2010s, I think. So let's stop. Let's just stop looking into stuff. We did it. We got it. So like, you know, find another hobby.
On Twitter, you can follow.
Find another hobby that isn't investigative journalism.
As a hobby. It's going to take me a while to find them. So,
okay.
I
can just send them to you right now. Need them.
No, okay. No, I have them saved in a spot. It takes me a while to remember the code to get in. But I wanted to give you a little bit of time to talk about something that you talked to me recently about, which was you said something like the thanks to modern capitalism, like hostile takeovers and corporate slap suits and just general business espionage are all parts of what we consider modern warfare. And where it used to be that the strongest man was king in the modern world, it should be, in order to save capitalist society, that we make the richest person king. Do you want to explain why you think the richest person should be king?
Do you know how much Jeff Bezos gave to charity last year?
I don't.
$43 million. probably, or something like that. It might as well be that. He is, do you know how many jobs Jeff Bezos created in the last year?
I would say upwards of 14.
Yeah, so much more than 14. And it doesn't matter if they're, you know, peeing themselves in factories or dying on factory floors and being left there for hours before someone is like, excuse me, I think this is a corpse. The thing is, he's a job creator. That's one. That's one corpse out of the many, many thousands, hundreds of thousands of jobs that he has created single-handedly with no help from anyone else. How many jobs did what's-her-nuts, Mother Teresa create? I don't know. None off the top of my head. I don't think she was creating any jobs when she showed up in fucking Calcutta in 1920. I don't think she was sharing that wealth, spreading that money around. Jeff Bezos is, or Bezos, or whatever.
You don't even know our king's name.
No, I don't. And he could flog me for that, and he would be right to. Because he is listening right now on this speaker that he gave me for free so he could listen to me. And I'm going to just like shout things that I want in my apartment, sometimes in my sleep. And then I'm going to wake up and there's going to be an ad on my computer. And I was like, hey, I heard you screaming about weighted blankets. Do you want one? And I'll be like, ah, yes. Thank you. And then some fucking 16-year-old is going to shit their pants to make sure I get that weighted blanket in 48 hours. And who am I to stand in the way of that?
For a second there.
You ever yell at a storm, Soren? You ever stand on the beach and try to scream at a tidal wave? No. How'd that go for you? This is the way the future is going. This is the shape that progress is taking. You don't want to be the fool who tries to reason with a tornado, do you?
I guess not.
No. I hope you feel about 2 feet tall right now.
For a second there, I thought you were going to say that Jeff Bezos listens to our podcast, but you're absolutely right that, like, the American public is his podcast. He can listen to everybody anytime.
Absolutely. And right. I hope he likes what he hears. You're bald and your eye is weird and your rocket ship looks like a penis.
Jeff, Dan's opinions are not my opinions, and I'm happy to serve you, sir.
Okay, everyone. I hope you enjoyed those. That's our show for the day. Obviously, I can't do an end bit for Daniel this week because he's not here. So, goodbye.